This morning, pardon me, our passage, our text is found in the third chapter of the Epistle to Philippians. If you'll turn with that before I comment or read that. Just want to say time is moving so fast. Pretty soon we're going to be in the graduation season. And that sounds rather, maybe a little bit absurd, but it seemed like my neighbors were putting up Halloween decorations just a week ago. And here we are in the middle of February. But soon we'll be in the season where graduation will take place and kids will go from high school to college or to a vocation. And what kind of success, what kind of career, what kind of aspirations do they have? And what will be the outcome? Some will have problems. Some will have some success. And I want to, pardon me. The success I'd like to comment on is the spiritual success. We can do a lot of great things in this life and be poor spiritually. But the Word of God is an encouragement to us. You know, what causes the outcomes that happen? And it has to do with the choices in our lives, the choices that we make. We want lives to be successful, both in a material sense and in a spiritual sense. But it's not always the case. And we have a world out there that would paint a picture that is not real true at times. A sneaker company shows us high-achieving athletes and then throws the phrase at us, just do it. And we have the soft drink seller that shows us beautiful young people with strong, healthy bodies and pitches us with the slogan, satisfy your thirst. And the automobile seller tells us the transportation is not just getting from point A to point B, but it's about enjoyment. So life is a journey, enjoy the ride, and so on and so forth. But despite all these dreams and aspirations, we've got to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. A few years ago, there was a movie that came out called Dead Poets Society. I don't know if you've seen it or heard of it, but it resurrected an obscure Latin phrase that most people didn't know or had forgotten, and it's carpe diem, and it means to seize the day. It's an exhortation to live life to the fullest, getting the most out of each individual day. There was a news sports broadcaster on the radio. I don't know if he's still on, but that was his theme every time he'd come on, that carpe diem. In the movie, Robin Williams, the actor who plays a teacher full of inspiration for his students, takes them to an old photo on their school wall. And there he points out the faces of teenage boys of the past who are full of dreams, but whose lives are over. And he reminds his class that they too will grow old and die. So he says, carpe diem, seize the day. And I want to take that to a spiritual sense. If you go with me to Philippians and what Paul wrote, inspired by the Holy Spirit, to this church at Philippi, beginning with the 10th verse. He says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. And I want to stop the reading right here. In this text, we find some simple truths that can guide our choices. And this is for every one of us here this morning. Can guide our choices that we can live a life that is prosperous. And I'm not talking in a material sense, but most of all a spiritual. And one of the first things that Paul does is he declares his purpose for living. And it's so simple. I want to know Christ and become like him and attain the resurrection. That's it. I want to know Christ. I want to be like him and attain the resurrection. That's the simple reason why we're here. In any business or church or family or individual, that if they don't understand their purpose, they're going to fail because they're going to go off in different directions. Why do I exist? Why am I here? What's God's plan in all this? If I were to ask everyone in this room, what would be your purpose? Some would say, well, a good wife or a good husband. I want to make a lot of money. I want to be a good doctor, teacher, salesman, or engineer, or whatever. Those answers would all be okay, good, but they're secondary. They're secondary in their purpose. The question, what is your primary purpose in life? What's the reason for your living? And that has to be so clear in our minds, because today we live in a world that is upside down at times, a world that is frantic, a world where so much information is being poured upon those that live in this world that you can get distracted. Have you ever gone on your phone and started to look something up, and pretty soon you see something else and you follow that, and pretty soon you see something else and you follow that, and 30 minutes goes by and what you started looking for is not where you're at now. You get distracted. You get pulled off in different directions. And it's not bad stuff. It's interesting things that just attract you and cause you to be swayed this way or that way. And that's what we face. Our lives will be without meaning, without purpose. Why am I here? It's simple. Basic truth, why do I exist? And Paul just broke it down for us. He says in the 10th, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, that I might be like him, that I might know his power in my life, that I might have that experience with Christ that will keep me on the right track, that will keep me moving in the right direction. You know, under Ecclesiastes, we find there's a purpose for everything under the sun. God has a purpose for your life and my life. And it's not revealed to us immediately. We start out in this life and we try to find our way. And what our purpose is not immediately revealed, as we know, and it takes time, and we have to ask the Lord, inquire of the Lord, Lord, what is your will? Lord, direct my path. God doesn't give us too much information at one time, usually. It's a little bit at a time because we can't contain it all, but a little bit at a time to follow him and to be caught up and to follow his leading and his guiding. Your purpose and my purpose is to know Christ. Anything else is secondary. Anything else pales in comparison. We want to be successful spiritually. Know Christ, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, becoming like him in death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. Lord, help us this morning. Let that be our focus. Let that be our focus, because there's enough distractions in this life. There's enough things that get in the way. And they're not bad things, but they're things that rob us and rob the time and rob our focus and rob our direction. Did you ever stop and think sometimes that in your life where, I don't know, maybe something happened, a milestone or some situation that was traumatic, or just stop and reflect and say, how did I get here? How did I get to this point in my life? And if we're real honest, painfully honest, we'll say it's because of the choices I made. It's because of how I followed the Lord or didn't follow the Lord. How I yielded to the direction of the Holy Spirit. How I listened to the Word of God. How I embraced the truth that's in Christ Jesus. That's being real honest. How did I get here? In this situation, in this phase of life, married to this person, having these children and this vocation, how did I get here? We'd like to think it was led by the Lord. Sometimes it's not. And now Paul is writing to us. He says, one thing, this is what's important. That I want to know Christ and be like him and attain the resurrection. That's where we start. That's where we start. He provides all the things. And then he goes on to say in verse 13, he says, brethren, I count myself, not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us to erase history. As if it didn't matter. No. But it's twofold. A place where you're in God's hands for forgiveness and leave him there. You see, the failures of the past plague us. Memory is a wonderful thing, and sometimes it's a detriment. Sometimes our memory is a detriment because the enemy uses that memory and says, well, remember how you failed the Lord, and remember what you did last week, or let's go back a few years, and remember when you were running away from God, or remember when you rejected the direction of the Holy Spirit. And the enemy is quick to point that out. The enemy won't let you forget those things. And it becomes very discouraging at times. You find out there's regrets and there's decisions that you made. And you wish you could go back. Anybody wish they could go back and change some decisions in their lives? I'm sure we all have those. But yesterday's gone. It's impossible to go back. So it's carpe diem. Seize the day right now. Where are we now? Praise God. Do you have memories that keep coming back to haunt you? You have thoughts that come to your mind that say you're not worth it? How can God work with you? Look at all the failures. How many times did you promise the Lord that you weren't going to behave in such a fashion? How many times did you promise the Lord, "Lord, I'm going to change. I'm going to do things differently." But I love the God that we serve. John writes, "If we confess our sins, God will be faithful to forgive us and cleanse us." If you take your past sins to the Lord and confess them before Him and ask for forgiveness, they're gone. They're gone. I want you to listen to this verse, these two verses in Isaiah. It says, Isaiah 43, "I am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins." In Isaiah 31, it says, "I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more." Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That was prophetically speaking. When Jesus came, when the blood was flowed down on Calvary's cross, the blood, praise God, paid the price of your sin and my sin, and we can have forgiveness of sin. And that sometimes is so hard to accept. It's so hard to grab a hold of that. Lord, oh, I have the memory of that sin, but it's washed away. God says, "I will remember it no more. I will wash it clean. The slate is clean." Praise God. Zechariah writes, "In that day, the fountain shall be opened to the house of David, a fountain for cleansing." Praise God. We have the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Your past can be under the blood of Jesus this morning, praise God, forgetting those things which are behind. Did Paul have things to forget? Oh, absolutely. He had men and women killed and tortured and thrown in prison. Oh, praise God, oh Lord. What a loving Savior we have this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus. We have a God who has a sharp memory, a God who washes the slate clean because of Jesus Christ. He gave His only begotten Son. How shall He freely not give us all things? Oh, praise God. Oh, Lord, thank you this morning. The other part of that is stop trying to live in the glory of the past. We're here now. We're here now. It's wonderful to talk about the revivals of past days and what God did. Thank God. Thank God for that witness and that testimony. But I can't live on that. I can't live on the past. I don't know about you, but it doesn't help me today. Other than to remember how beautiful that was, but Lord, I need your presence now. I need a fresh anointing, praise God. The Word of God says we need a fresh anointing of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Not a one-time thing, but a fresh anointing. Paul wrote in the earlier verses, he said in the fourth verse, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath therefore, wherefore he might trust in the flesh, I more circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. I had the credentials. I was the man. But oh, praise God. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Oh, praise God. Oh, Lord, help us. Help us, oh, Lord, to draw closer to you. I will not live in the past. My reason for living is to be like Jesus. That's what Paul was saying here. I live for Jesus today. Maybe your past isn't so good. That doesn't have to color your future and my future. There's things that, Lord, help us to draw closer. You know, I don't know why this came to me when I was preparing, but I remember when I graduated from college and with a degree in mechanical engineering there, one of the things that our company encouraged us to do was to register and become a professional engineer. And you had to take a test, and we took a test when we were in college before we graduated, and you become an engineer in training, they call it. Then you have to wait 4 or 5 years to get experience in the industry, and you can take the professional engineer test. And it was a prestigious thing. It was more necessary if you were going into private practice as an engineer, but it was something that I wanted to achieve. And I had to got ready to the point in time where I could take the second test, and I went out, had to. It was done in Jefferson City, and drove out to Jefferson City and overnight, and it was the arrangements got messed up, and I ended up sharing a room with a total stranger, so I kind of slept with one eye open, you know. It was one of those situations. But the test was all day. It was half in the morning, half in the afternoon. It was intense, you know. It was everything that you learned or was supposed to learn, you was going to be tested. And the morning session was a disaster. I don't think, in my mind, as I went back and was thinking about it at lunch, I didn't even eat lunch. I sat there kind of just shell-shocked. I blew this. I said, this is not going well. I said, I'm sure I failed the first half of this test. And I almost got up and left. Honest, as God is my witness, I said, this is useless. I might as well quit right now. And sometimes spiritually, we kind of get to that point. But something happened in the afternoon test. I was just knocking it out of the park. Everything was just coming to me, and everything went, and I said, well, there's hope. And sure enough, in a few weeks, we got the notification, you're a professional engineer. You know, blah, blah, blah. But my point is, sometimes we get discouraged and settle into being less than what God wants us to be. And Paul says, no, I press. I got to forget about those things. I got to forget about the past. Maybe it was yesterday. Maybe it was last week. Maybe it was 2 years ago. But I got to forget about it. Because I've put it under the blood of Jesus. And I've asked the Lord for forgiveness. And I want to have the faith to accept that forgiveness and go on from this point. I want to press. I want to press for the kingdom. I want to be like Jesus. I want him to have his way in me, praise God. Well, can God work with me now? Absolutely. Absolutely. Don't put a label on yourself. Don't put yourself in a box. Say, Lord, you're able this morning. Help me and strengthen me. And draw me close. Let me not, I'm in a situation, Brother Ron, I can't extricate myself. Well, let God help you. Things don't change overnight, Brother Ron. I understand that. But God will work it out. God will help you. God will make a way where there is no way. Oh, hallelujah. He is able this morning. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is it not possible with him? Praise God. What we were, we don't have to continue to be. The word says we go from glory to glory. How does that happen? Because we keep pressing. We keep pressing for the mark. We keep pressing for the kingdom. We keep trying to live like Jesus. And if you fall down today, get up and say, Lord, help me. I want to do better. I want to follow you. Whatever I need to do to yield to you. No, I'm not. It's not trying harder. I'm going to try harder. No, you need God's help. What does Paul say? That I may know him and what the power of his resurrection. What is he talking about? Holy Spirit power. What's going to help you? The Holy Spirit. What's going to take you over the top? The Holy Spirit. What's going to give you strength to overcome the enemy? The Holy Spirit. What's the power that's going to be with you and to deny all the direction and all the attacks of the enemy? The Holy Spirit. And here, Paul, what a terrible person he was. Self-righteous. I'm going to persecute this name of Jesus. I'm going to stop this because it's against the law. He was so self-righteous. And I've got all the credentials. And God turned him around. Oh, praise God. He turned him around. That when Ananias found him, he was praying. And God used him mightily for the kingdom. Would you pick Paul? Would you have grabbed Paul? Knowing his reputation, would you have picked Paul? Would you have picked Peter? Impetuous Peter. Lord, I'll never leave you. I'll defend you always. And he runs off. He denied him three times. Would you pick Peter? Who do you want to be the first spokesman of the church? Well, brothers, what do you think? Peter? No, not Peter. God saw the heart. God saw the heart. Think about it. Can God use you? Who's God gonna raise up for the next ministry? Who's he going to raise up? I'm speaking to him right here this morning. Someone. God's going to raise up. Oh, Lord, help us this morning. What's your purpose? What's your purpose to know Jesus and to be like him and to attain the resurrection? That's your purpose. You get away from that purpose and you're in dangerous territory. You get off of that focus and the enemy is going to lead you astray. Because he's got landmines out there. He's got traps. He's got snares. He's waiting for you. Well, if he takes this turn, I got him. If he goes this direction, I'm going to go after him. But oh no. God will protect us. God will stay after us. How good is our God this morning? Praise God. There are many snares and traps growing up. Many directions we could have taken. And today the temptations are greater. I honestly believe they're greater today than they ever were. But God's power is still above all. God is able. It's with our hearts. Lord, what's our focus? Carpe diem, seize the day. In a spiritual sense, what does God want you to do? Pursue the kingdom. Be like Jesus. Oh, Father, help us this morning. You know what? God spoke to Joshua when they first getting ready to enter the promised land. He says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Praise God. This book of the law, the word, Jesus Christ, will make thy way prosperous. Oh, praise God. Lord, help us this morning. Help us to forget about past failures. We're not making excuses for them. They happened. We failed. We fell down. We displeased the Lord. We did some ugly things. But the blood of Jesus is greater. The blood of Jesus covered and cleansed us. The blood of Jesus washed it clean. And God is encouraging us this morning, come on, follow me. Don't get lost in this world. Many attractions and distractions. Many directions you could take. Don't settle in to a mediocre, an automatic kind of a life of worship. Just don't settle for that. There's so much more to attain in Christ Jesus. God wants to bless. When we receive the Holy Spirit, those of us baptized, many of my peers at 1961, couldn't imagine, heard about it. We knew what it was. But couldn't put it into words. What the experience was something that was undefined because we hadn't experienced it. Until God touched us, until God caught up with us, and whether it might have been in a church service or a song or a prayer or somebody just laying hands on us and something we felt. Something that just was real. Real. And then when the Holy Spirit came, you can't put it in words. You can't describe it. There aren't words in the English language to describe the feeling because Jesus said it. Says, in that day, you'll know that I'm in you, you're in me, and we're in the Father. In that day, what day? The day that the Holy Spirit takes up residence in your soul. In that day, you're going to know. You're going to know inside of you unmistakably that something has transformed. Something has taken place. There's something different within you, something you experience that never has happened before. And it's real. It's not a moment of ecstasy. It's not a moment of, oh, I got caught up and I'm emotional. No, it's not that. Something that's so real. And from that moment on, we were changed. We were different. Do you think the enemy gives up? Oh, well, he's baptized. Leave him alone. No. You become a bigger target. You become with a bullseye on your back. Oh, there's one. We got to silence him or her. We got to stop them in their tracks. We got to lay the trap. We got to get them off track because you know what's going to happen? They're going to influence others. They're going to preach the good news. They're going to witness. They're going to tell the story. Praise God. They're going to encourage others. We got to stop it. Don't let them stop it. How long ago were you baptized? How many years? Is it real today like it was then? And I'm not saying this to be critical. Life gets in the way. I understand that. Is it real today like it was then? If not, there is one remedy. God says you can experience it. You can get right back to where you were. And he wants us there. Praise God. The closer we are, the more he can use us. The closer we are, the more we surrender to the Holy Spirit, the more he blesses. Lisa mentioned in her exhortation, Paul and Silas began to sing and praise. What in the world possessed them to do that? What in the world? They were just beaten. They were in stocks. They were bloody. They were sore and tired. For no reason. What possessed them to do that? The Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise God, the Holy Spirit. And what happened? What happened? That whole jail got saved. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, Father, if we could only appreciate what God wants to do. You don't have to stay where you are. You don't have to experience the mediocre praise. You don't have to stay in that condition. I'm not being critical. I don't misunderstand me. You don't have to stay where you are. Lord, help us. I want to be like Paul. I press. I'm giving it all my energy. In spite of my failures and faults, I'm taking it to the Lord for forgiveness, but I'm pressing. When I'm out of gas, the Lord seems to fill my tank once again. Say, keep going. Keep going. A word of encouragement, a song, a testimony. A word from the scriptures seems to energize us and say, oh yes, help me, Lord. Praise God. I'm going to close right here. May the Lord encourage you this morning. Know your purpose. Don't ever forget your purpose. Young people, some of you are going to go to college. Some of you are going to be getting jobs eventually. Some of you are going to find spouses someday. Remember your purpose. Remember where you should be going. And God will help you. God will make a way. That's the beauty part about it. God will make a way. He has a perfect plan for your life and my life. The problem for us is surrendering to the Holy Spirit to follow that plan. but he will make a way. May the Lord encourage you this morning. May his name be praised. Amen. Do we have a song?